You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim here in a very chilly Henderson, Nevada. And guys, we can relax. We can exhale. The silver and black have done it. They have taken down the Los Angeles Chargers somehow, some way. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. And we could not be happier today to welcome one of our oldest, dearest friends back into the mix to break down everything that has happened over the last, call it 3.5 hours. You hear her on ESPN, you hear her work with Silver and Black Productions. Like I said, I'm biased, but one of our favorite people in the sports world, Beth Moens, is coming to hang out. And Beth, I had all these notes ready to go for getting you in here to talk about this game. I have since deleted them all, and let's just talk about the ending. Like, what? Like, you're sitting at home, you're watching the game. What are you thinking during that last like 10 minutes of real time?
Yes. Well, I'm thinking of something, and I'll name drop a little bit here. But as I was preparing for Monday Night Football a few years ago, and I had an opportunity to talk to Al Michaels, he said, you know, Beth, don't forget, do all your prep, do all your homework, get ready for anything, but always remember that sometimes the game is going to break out, and that's all you're going to need to talk about. And so I was thinking about that as we got deeper into the fourth quarter of this one today. The game did get in the way, and it was fabulous to see how the guys responded in some tense moments, to see how they did under pressure. I've already heard Coach Gruden post-game talking about Isaiah Johnson's baptism today, and for that guy to be involved with both pass breakups on the fade routes in the end zone, the last two plays, terrific to see him and even getting a little emotional post-game. So I think coming up with a big stop when you have to is crucial to any team that wants to talk about the playoffs. And you know what, the offensive line, my goodness, with all that those guys have been through, and week in and week out, you're not sure who's going to be in there, and somebody different each week seems to step up. I thought they really set the tone in that third quarter with, Las Vegas's ability to get back to that run game and the big turnaround there in the third quarter, and those guys had a lot to do with it.
I'm 100% here for the super casual Al Michaels name drop, by the way. That is an incredible flex, Ben Moens. But yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point about this offensive line, and it really has been the story for this year. And I know it's not very exciting and it's not very flashy, but the amount of personnel groupings that this offensive line has gone through, the amount of guys that have been in and out, and everything that Tom Cable has been dealt this year, it is absolutely incredible that these guys, it doesn't matter which five of them are out there, somehow, some way managed to get it done. And you look at what they did today, they helped pave the way for another 160 yards for this Raiders team on the ground, a very casual 6.2 yards per carries for this offense. And I mean, we've talked about it a lot over the past, I guess, 8 weeks now, Beth, but kind of internally about who the Raiders on offense in particular are. Do they want to be able to go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs and put up big points? Or do they want to be this kind of methodical, grind it out, win time of possession, control the line of scrimmage team? Mm-hmm. And I think the more that we get into 2020 and the more we see them, this is who I think Coach Gruden wants them to be, is this running behind this big, nasty front and letting Josh and Devontae and those guys go to work.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that is ultimately who they would love to be. And, you know, having already beaten the Chiefs and showing what they can do in terms of lighting up the scoreboard, I think one of the big differences this year, Eddie, is they do have some of those playmakers. And so while I was thrilled to see them, you know, grind it out from time to time, that first touchdown drive, you know, a lot of Josh Jacobs up the field, I think Devontae Booker is a guy that has emerged as a huge offseason pickup for the Raiders. But then also the ability, and you know, Raiders fans have been, you know, crying for this to happen the last couple of years, is when are we going to start to see some of those downfield throws and the big plays? And of course, we saw a couple of those in the third quarter. Derek's throw to Renfro was just on the money, and you know, under duress and on the move. I thought that was one of the key plays of the game. So we're seeing the ability for the Raiders to run it when they want to, and that seems to be the need right now, but also make those plays downfield. And I think one of the highlights was here in the old Denver Bronco, Mark Schlereth just getting giddy, calling him the Ogmollies, which is a great line for those O linemen, and they really came through big.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. It was, I think, like the perfect game for Schlereth to be on the call for, right? Former offensive lineman, and mm-hmm. it was on both sides of things, really. I mean, the Chargers offensive line really put together a nice game as well. But I'm glad you brought up that third down bomb to Renfro, because I've been pretty open, especially the past year or so, about wanting to see Derek push the action a little bit more. You and I both know that there is not a throw on an NFL football field that Derek Carr cannot make. And I've just wanted him to be a little more aggressive. Like, Derek, you are the guy. Show us you're the guy. And so for me, my favorite moment outside of the huge, you know, fourth or, you know, last minute or last second stand there was seeing Derek on that third down, stepping up, and he looks at Renfro, and you see him gesturing for him to go deep. Yep. And I was like, thank you. Thank you, Derek. All of my complaints. You've heard my pleas. And it really does. It kind of strikes that perfect balance between who the Raiders want to be on the ground, and like I talked about, controlling the tempo, controlling that line of scrimmage, but also saying, hey, you can't sleep on us going deep either, especially when you have guys like Renfro, Ruggs, who I know didn't really have a big game today, and a reborn Nelson Aguilar here in Las Vegas too.
Yeah, it seems to, you know, we thought initially probably that Ruggs was going to be the deep ball threat. As it's played out so far, it's been Aguilar. I'm hoping that we'll eventually start to see a little more of Ruggs. That's something I think moving forward that they can work on. But Aguilar has really done a terrific job. They had a great statistic or a great graphic that he's one of the best deep threats with touchdown catches of over 20 yards in the entire NFL through the first half of the season. So I do love to see that. You know, I was frustrated at the end of the first half with the fumble from Derek, and I think he did learn from that. And we did see a little bit more ability from him getting out of the pocket in the second half, certainly on the Renfro throw, certainly on the fabulous dive around the, what was that, around the 5-10 yard line to pick up a big first down. So, you know, I like to see that aggressiveness too from Derek, and it sounds like the coaches do as well.
It seems like to me, at least you know, obviously our access this year is so much different than it's been in years past for obvious reasons, but at least it seems to me from watching the games every Sunday and, you know, watching them at Allegiant, watching them at home, watching them with our digital group, but it seems like Derek is carrying himself with more of like a subtle confidence, if that's kind of maybe the right term for it, where he gets to the line of scrimmage, and I'm not saying that this has been the case in the past, but he just seems very calm. He seems very at peace. Like, he knows what he needs to do. And I feel like that really is kind of billowing out now to him being a little more aggressive with his feet, being more willing to take those deep shots. And it seems like all the things that we've wanted for the past 2 years when it comes to number four are coming to fruition right now.
I think a lot of it too, Eddie, comes down to the guys around him all want to be here. They all want to be a part of this unit, and they all put in the work. You know, they were given lemons over the summer and throughout the pandemic, and they made lemonade. The workouts that they put in that were documented, you know, all around Las Vegas, and the time together, you can see that. You could see when Alec Ingold went down. Practically the entire offensive unit, every skill player on the roster was down there checking on Alec to see how he was doing, and hopefully, you know, short-term and long-term, he's going to be all right. But you do get the sense that Derek is very comfortable around this group. He really likes the guys that he's playing with. And I, you know, you do get that sense that in the big moments, he's ready to go.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we talk about Derek so much and what he does in the passing game, and for good reason too. But really, I think that he's very key to what this team wants to do on the ground as well, and getting the silver and black into the right looks, making sure that they're in kind of net positive plays. But I'm looking at the rushing breakdown right now, Beth, and you have Booker's your leader today with 8 carries for 68, and then Josh with 14 and 65. And I think to me, obviously, maybe switch that a little bit, you know, maybe a little more for Josh, a little more for Booker. But gosh, I mean, that ratio between Devontae and Josh, especially at the halfway point, to me is like kind of that perfect place for where you want to be, because you don't want Josh to get run into the ground and in the middle of November. Like, this to me, like, Devontae Booker has been such a positive addition to this team, and I'm glad that he's finally starting to get a little love now.
Yeah, I think, and we saw that a lot last week too. It was funny to hear, you know, the announcers talking about Devontae's success on a few plays seemed to light a fire under Josh, and I think there's a real healthy competition between all the running backs, and they are really pushing each other to get better and better each week. And You know, Josh had a ton of carries last week, right? So you want to keep that in mind as you move forward, and he needed those to put the game away for the Raiders. So I had no problem at all seeing a lot more of Devontae, and you know, the balance that they have. You still have Rashard coming out of the backfield making plays, and Alec making some nice plays out of the backfield. So that group has really evolved into a strength for this offense. And you know, the O-line, if they can all get healthy together, my goodness, the depth that you're going to have up front now with the experience of those guys, I think is only going to benefit the Raiders as they move forward. This is a big stretch right here. You got three straight divisional games. So you got Denver coming up and then the rematch with Kansas City. You can really set the tone here moving forward for a team that's talking playoffs. And it's a schedule, right, Eddie, that we knew was front-loaded, and they got through it okay, and now they're in positive ground and a chance to really take care of business second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point about that schedule being front-loaded, and I'll be pretty honest, where when I looked at the schedule when it came out in March or April or whatever, I mean, who knows what time is anymore these days, but whenever it came out, I was like, all right, if the Raiders can survive, if we can just keep our head above water, I think on paper, things are laying, you know, they're in a way where we could kind of make a run that second half. And this team just hasn't survived over the first half of the season. I think they've won a couple games that people didn't think they were going to win. Obviously, it hasn't been perfect. But like you said, things are setting up in a very, very interesting mm-hmm. way for these 2020 Las Vegas Raiders. And obviously, you got to do the old take it 1 week at a time. Don't get too ahead of yourselves. But and that's no fun, right? No one wants to live in that world.
I got the schedule up right here. I'm already marking down wins and losses,
You know what, but I did the same thing before we even played the first game.
I was looking at the bye week, right, and then you have the Buccaneers, and when they picked up Tom Brady, I'm like, okay, that's going to be a challenge. So let's get through that if you can at 500, and then see what happens after that. So now you're in a spot where the Raiders have won three of the last four, okay, and with eight games to go, obviously every game is going to be a tough one, but six of those eight opponents right now have losing records, so that is something that a playoff team, right, is going to be able to take advantage of. And hopefully the Raiders can stay healthy and keep this momentum going as they get set for the next couple of weeks against divisional rivals.
And not only that, you've already shown that you can beat the Chiefs. You've gone to Arrowhead and you've kind of gotten the monkey off of everyone's back there. So like you said, it's gonna be fun. It's going to be pretty interesting. But we've talked a lot about the offense, Beth, and for good reason. It's very exciting. I think they're clicking. They're at a good place right now. And defensively, I know it wasn't perfect. This defense has not been perfect for really any of 2020. But the one thing that I really like today, and I know we still have a long way to go, but I thought that today was the most active we've seen Cleveland Furrell in 2020.
Yes, yes.
The stats might not blow you away when we check them out tomorrow morning, but I felt like he was everywhere. And when a guy like Cleveland eats, it helps Max and it helps Jonathan Hankins. Like, it helps the secondary. He can just be such a disruptor. And really, like I said, the stat line might not be the most incredible thing in the world, but he was active today, and I really like seeing that.
Yeah, I think that is the most that we've heard his name all season, perhaps through the first couple of seasons for Cleveland. And that was great to see him trying to set the tone right away. I mean, he was involved early. That is, in the first half, some of the best pressure that we've seen them get on the quarterback this year. And now it's just a matter of consistency. Can the Raiders get that done throughout the course of an entire game? I really think that Kwiatkowski is making some big plays, had the huge stuff of Tyrod Taylor on the two-point conversion, literally stood him up and threw him down at the two-yard line. So I think he has shown some terrific leadership. I think like much of Raider Nation, we still cringe with the coverage on the tight ends from time to time. So that is something that is still a work in progress. But with each week, more and more guys are getting reps. They're getting some experience. I think we're closer to getting Arnett back on the field. Trayvon Mullen, you hope that he can get back healthy and get in there for every set of downs. But that was huge for Isaiah Johnson late in the ball game today, and I think a lot of confidence for a guy like Furrell, who's kind of been waiting for that breakout moment.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, where this is a relatively young team, especially on defense. This is not a team that's been together for 3, 4, or 5 years. There's a lot of guys who are still learning the subtleties of the NFL game, learning to play with the guy next to him. And I know we talk about it a lot, and I think maybe admittedly we talk about it a little too much, but let's not forget, this team didn't really have the offseason program. They had a very strange, bizarre training camp, just like everyone else in the NFL, but that's the reality of where things are. And I know now that we can look back on this moment in particular, Beth, the 4th and 2 decision to punt, I tweeted out that I liked the call, and you would have thought that I would have, you know, said horrible things about Coach Gruden's mother. The fans turned on me in a big way, Beth. And I was like, am I really in the minority here? We're thinking, given the situation in the game, that was like kind of the right thing to do. I mean, I don't know. Where do you kind of stand on that one?
You know, I really don't have a problem with that call. I think obviously they've got a much better feel for it than any of us watching at home. And, you know, we're always clamoring, I think, as fans for a team to go for it, to be the aggressor. I think there are moments in time where you've got a lot of confidence in your offensive line to get the job done and your run game to get the job done. And for whatever, they didn't feel that was the right occasion for that. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, there are times, I think, where, you know, we're still, you know, like we talked about a little bit earlier, setting up the pass plays with the run game and how do you find that right balance. And you know, you're you know, not excited at all about the 3 and outs. Nobody is. So I'm okay with that decision. I can certainly live with that one, and it ended up, you know, that the Raiders came out on the winning side. Anything, but it's data that goes into the bank, and that there are things you can use, perhaps in a different way as you move forward in the season.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you 100%. But I just couldn't get over it. I was like, what? I wouldn't even think this was like a spicy take, really. You know what I mean? Like, I try to keep things pretty even on the road, especially on game day, and the fans just turned on me, but I couldn't get over it. It was,
you know, social media can be a dangerous place sometimes.
Oh, you are 100% right. Well, hey, Beth, we appreciate you. And, you know, before we get out of here, crack some Cold Coors Light. Cold Coors Light, I just want to say thank you again for hopping on with us. This was so much fun. We can't wait to have you back. See you. Gosh, hopefully see you again in person sooner than later. Oh, that would be nothing better than that.
I was wondering what it was time to crack open, and now you've given me the great idea. Coors Light it is.
There it is. Beth Mohns, we appreciate it. So, all right, as I said, though, we're going to get out of here. We're going to crack a few ice cold Coors Lights. But before we do, let's hear a little something from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And a huge, 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 huge shout out to Beth Mohns, man. Like I said, one of our favorite people, someone who I learn a lot from every time that she comes on and hangs out with us. And like I said, just an incredible person and an incredible announcer. And just like I said, one of our favorites. So we continue on and we wrap up the show. So let's do this. Let's just think ahead a week. Your 5-3 Las Vegas Raiders are returning home to the desert. As we speak, as we record this, we're probably about an hour and a half away from getting on the plane in Los Angeles, flying back to here. But they're going to return to Las Vegas 5-3. And next week, back in beautiful Allegiant Stadium, where they're going to welcome the Denver Broncos, who earlier today fell to the Atlanta Falcons 27-34. And the Broncos are a team that, you know, they've been a streaky team in 2020. But if we've learned anything, you know, especially looking at today, when AFC West opponents get together, throw the records out. Throw them out. The Chargers were 2-5 coming into the game today. 2-5. Now, yes, I think they were probably the best 2-5 team in the NFL. But nevertheless, this was a game that went down literally to the final second. Now, I hope that's not the case next week. I hope we can relax, we can breathe a little easier, and this doesn't go 59 minutes and 59 seconds. But all the same, AFC West games, division games are tough. They are hard-fought battles. And division games are so, so, so important, especially for a team now like the Raiders who are looking ahead to the postseason. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but that has to be the goal now. Sitting at 5-3 at the halfway point, that has got to be the goal for John Gruden and this team, is making the playoff, making the tournament. And once again, the tournament, let's get weird. Crazy things happen. But it is going to be a really, really good game next week. We get to see Drew Locke, something I know that the great KMM is very excited about. But oh, it is going to be a good one. It is going to be a good, good, good football game. But we are going to have a lot of time, tons of time, to not only keep basking in this victory, but to look ahead to the Chargers, to look ahead to the Broncos and everything that they will bring to the table next week. But before we do that, it's about that time. We told Beth we're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's crack open a few ice-cold Coors Lights. And unfortunately, guys, I wouldn't say unfortunately, you're stuck with me. Just a single cold one will be cracked today. Beth had to run. She was so, so good to us, giving us, carving out some time. But she's a very important lady. She had places to do, things to see, folks to talk to. So you're running with just me. You're running with the lone wolf for the final little segment here. So we're going to crack one ice-cold Coors Light. We're going to get out of here. And you guys are going to go on and keep on enjoying that Victory Monday. But in terms of cracking this cold one, so many places to go. I feel like we could crack a cold one for Tom Cable every week for everything that he has done. He's been incredible. This offensive line has been incredible. Brandon Parker deserves a cold one. Sam Young deserves a cold one. Devontae Booker deserves a cold one. Jonathan Abram, who we didn't give enough love to and enough shine to at the top of the show, he deserves one. But I'm going to crack this ice-cold Coors Light for Isaiah Johnson. Second-year corner who came up big, not even big, huge, gargantuan over those final two plays today. If he doesn't show up like that, thrust into duty with an injured Trayvon Mullen, if Isaiah Johnson does not show up like he showed up today, your Raiders are 4-4, not 5-3. And Isaiah deserves a ton of credit. Coach Gruden said postgame that he got a game ball and incredibly well deserved. He was spectacular over that final, those final two plays. That was like final 6 seconds, 5 seconds. I don't even know. Time just kind of stopped for the end of that game. But Isaiah really was incredible, especially for a guy who's dealt with what he's dealt with since he was drafted and who's kind of fought back, who's just been waiting for his chance and got his chance today. I mean, just a great story, a great guy. You saw the raw emotion coming out of him post game, and that's what this is all about, man. This is guys just laying everything on the line, wanting to be their best, wanting to help their teammates, wanting to help their friends. And man, it was so cool to see just Isaiah have that moment, to have that moment post game, to get those accolades from Coach Gruden afterwards. Just incredible. So Isaiah Johnson, man, this ice cold Coors Light is for you, brother. And I hope you just relish in this moment. You enjoy it. Because hopefully this is the first of many, many good games, many big moments for you as a Las Vegas Raider. And on that note, we're hitting the road. Time to get out of here. So, for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, the great, the legendary Beth Mowens, and everybody else who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And it's time for my weekly plea. Guys, remember to keep washing those hands, wearing those masks, social distancing. COVID is not going anywhere, and we really do need to crush this virus. And I want to get back to hanging out with everyone at Allegiant. I want everyone to get a chance to see this beautiful stadium. And if we can all work together, do what we need to do, hopefully that day comes sooner than later. So enjoy this Victory Monday, Raider Nation. Relax, bask in it. It's always fun to win, but it's even more fun when you beat a division opponent. And we will catch you guys on Thursday for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.